Amen. Again, it's great to be here with you this morning. It's great to have Yakima weather in Puyallup. I feel at home. Amen. We thank the Lord for that as well. He likes making us feel at home. So I love it when the sun is shining. I feel at home. I hope you like the sunshine too. I know you get more of the other stuff, but praise God. If you don't like the sunshine, don't worry. It'll change before long. You'll be back to normal. Amen. Praise God. Why don't you grab your Bible with me? Go to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. Amen. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. I never take it for granted. Even though this church is part of our church, our home church, we never come here casually or take it for granted. It's always a privilege to be together with you. Appreciate Bishop and Sister Schoonover and Brother and Sister Johnstone. Glad they're able to get away. Amen. That's important. It really is important. You should never begrudge the pastor or the minister for being able to get away. Amen. You should be thankful that they... Anybody else ever need a time to get away? Yeah. If you didn't raise your hand, you're not being honest. All right. Or maybe you just didn't feel the need, but you can relate, so... Amen. We need that time. It's important. That time is important. And so I'm thankful they're able to do that. Let me encourage you today to bear them up in prayer. Amen. I stand here today as a pastor as well that knows we need prayer. Amen. We are human and we battle things just like you do. And we need prayer. And so if you run out of things to pray for, even if you haven't ran out of things to pray for your pastor, pray for your bishop, pray for their wives and their families. Hold them up in prayer. They do something that gets on your nerves, pray for them more. They do something that makes you appreciate them, thank God for them and pray for them more. Amen? Praise God. Acts chapter number 16. We're going to actually start in verse number... Well, you know what? We're right there. We'll just read just to get a little context. We're just going to read the first few verses. Amen. Acts 16, verse 1. Then came he is Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was... well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Isn't that interesting? It's not what we're going to talk about, but that just really caught my attention. We're just going to pause for a minute. Can you go back to verse 1? His mother was a Jewess and believed. But Luke even put that in there. Luke might have had some issues himself he was working through. But his father was a Greek. That's a strike against this young man, Timothy. It would seem, if we're looking through our natural, judgmental, critical, find fault, what's wrong with them eyes, right? I know none of us do that. Verse 2, the fact that his, I don't think the fact his mother was a Jewess was well reported of. I think the fact that his father was a Greek was well reported of. Everybody knew that. Now, you know, things haven't changed a lot in 2,000 years, have they? Even in the book of Acts, they were putting labels on people. Even in the book of Acts, a young Timothy, who was filled with the Spirit of God, called of God, we know by reading more of the scripture, used of God, we know by reading more. Even young Timothy had a label put on him by somebody, so much so that it's recorded in Scripture, and it was well reported of. When I read that in plain English, I say, it was well talked about. Everybody say, Lord, help me. Amen. I need the Lord to help me. I don't want to put labels on people. Amen. That's not what we're going to talk about, but that just really caught my attention. Verse 3, him, the one that had this label on him, him would Paul have to go forth with him. Don't you know that brought some looks Paul's way? And he took and circumcised him, not because of the law, not because of the requirements of the day, but because of the Jews. Right? He was trying to quiet down those people that were well reporting his father was a Greek. See, sometimes the Lord asks things of us simply because for us to be able to minister effectively, he knows that for people to receive us, there are certain things we have to do. Does that make sense? Paul didn't take Timothy and have him circumcised because he had to, according to the Spirit of the Lord and the instruction of the Lord. You can read later, Paul addresses circumcision and whether it was still required or not. Paul did that because of the Jews which were in that area, and he knew that for Timothy to be able to be received and minister effectively, he needed to do this. Now, if Timothy, man, this is not where I thought we were going today, and I should have just started on the verse I thought we were going to start on. If Timothy would have said, well, hold on, I thought I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and now I'm living under grace and you're telling me I got to be circumcised. I don't see that anymore. Why are you telling me I need to do that? He could have done that, couldn't he? He would have had that right, right, Brother Berglund? He could have said, you're telling me to do something I don't have to do. Some of you are getting really nervous here. Sometimes, oftentimes, many times, for the Lord to work in our life and use us to minister, he asks things of us beyond minimums. And now don't get too nervous. Don't say, man, Brother Hart's getting ready to ask us to do something outside the Word of God. He's getting ready. No, I'm not going to do that. But there are times the Lord may ask things of you that you may go look in Scripture and say, I don't see where the Lord expected that much of somebody in Scripture. But what he asked of Timothy through Paul, Paul was Timothy's pastor, his bishop. What he asked of Timothy through Paul was beyond what Scripture, because of the dispensation they were living in, it was beyond what would have been expected. But the apostle Paul, who had the oversight in Timothy's life, Timothy called him his father in the faith. The Apostle Paul recognized, Timothy, there's a calling on your life. God's going to use you. Yeah, you want to be involved in ministry. I don't mean standing in a pulpit holding my, I mean ministry to people. Giving of your life as a God-called, Spirit-filled child of God and ministering to others. Whether that's on the job, across from a coffee cup, across sharing a cup of coffee or whatever. Ministry. He said, Timothy, I recognize that the way the Lord wants to use you, there's going to be some issue if we don't deal with this circumcision thing. Right? That's what happened. And so he said, because there's a lot of Jews in this area where you're going to minister right now, and they know that your father is a Greek. It keeps coming up, doesn't it? It was well reported of, we already heard. And so because this reputation, if I can use that word, or this label, that would probably be a better word, because this label precedes you, Timothy, you're going to have to do some things in your own life to be above reproach. Now, my human nature would buck up against that and say, well, they just got to accept me for who I am. It's not the heart of a minister. The word minister means to serve. And so if my nature and my attitude is, well, they better just accept me for who I am or else they got a problem. Well, they may have a problem, but if I'm called to minister to them, how can I minister to that problem if they won't even open themselves to receive me? Come on, Jesus Christ himself exampled this to us. He took on the form of a servant and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Why did he have to do that? Technically, no. But why did he take on the form of a servant? Why did he lower himself to such a place? Why? Simple. He knew to minister and reach those I've come to reach, I've got to be willing to abase myself. I've got to be willing to take things on myself that technically I may not have to do. But in order to reach people, I've got to give myself to stepping down from my exalted place, if you will. Sometimes we say, Lord, use me, Lord. He says, I like to. Here's what I need you to do first. And we say, how could he dare ask that of me? I can't believe he tells me I need to wear a tie. I don't know where that came from. I'm not making it about tie. But you understand, sometimes in our human nature, we can bow our back so easily at instruction and direction going, well, hold on, why? And the Lord's wanting to use us to minister. Timothy dealt with this in his life. Paul instructed in him in some things beyond what would have normally been asked because he knew God wants to use you to minister. And to be received, sometimes you've got to take steps in your own life where you step back and you step down. Pride keeps a lot of us from operating in ministry the way God wants to use us. Lord, help me. Let's hurry up and get to where I want to go. I believe the Lord wanted to go, at least when he started this deal with me. Now he set me up. Verse 4. And as they went through the cities, now they're ministering. See, there were some things to get in order before they could minister. Paul knew that. If this young man's traveling with me, I got to get some things in order so the people will receive him, right? It wasn't about the Lord using him. It was about people receiving him. As they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. That's an exciting time in the church, isn't it? Isn't that awesome to read? Now I want us to look at what happens here, verse number 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, watch these next words, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Isn't that interesting? They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Verse 7. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed, all these words, they essayed, it's like they determined, they made up their mind, or they said, we're going to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit, capital S, suffered them not. Okay, what's going on here? Paul and Timothy, I mean, these things are happening. They're declaring decrees and the church is being established in the faith. Now they're ready to head into Asia and preach the word. And we would say, let us support your missionary journey. We're going to pray for you. We're going to send you. Oh, but one problem. The Holy Ghost said, nope, you can't go preach the word in Asia. Okay, Lord. Bithynia. Let's head there. But the Spirit wouldn't let them go there either. Don't you know that was just a zeal crusher? Man, I got plans to do great things for God. I'm going to go preach the word here. I'm going to go declare the gospel there. But the Holy Ghost said, nope, not there. Nope, not there. Interesting. And they passing by Mysia, however you say the name of that city, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. We've already been talking a few minutes. I just want to talk to you a few minutes more this morning. I want to talk to you about something that isn't a new subject to any of us, if you've been here more than a month. I want to talk to you about being willing to wait on the leading of the Spirit of God. And being willing to act on the leading of the Spirit of God. Would you pray with me one more time before we go any further? Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you today for your great mercy. I thank you, Lord, for your unfailing love and your abundant grace. I pray that your word and your Spirit would speak into our lives today the very things you want to say. Impart into us your word according to your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As we've seen in just reading these nine verses, it's not hard to see ourselves there when we sort of look at it in context. If we forget that it's 2,000 years ago and just look at the fact that they're real men, real people, just like you and I, it's not very hard to go, oh yeah, I can see myself there, right? We can see, maybe we've had labels put on us, or maybe we've put labels on others, right? Maybe that's happened. Maybe we've had to overcome things to receive ministry from people. Maybe we've had to go through things to be able to be received to people in ministry. So we can relate to some of those things. And maybe, just maybe, we can relate to having a heart to minister and feeling like, I want to go here and minister. I know the Lord's dealing with my heart and I'm ready, but why can't I? What's keeping me from getting there? You know, every time that there's opposition doesn't always mean Satan is against us. Sometimes the Lord just closes the door because he knows the timing of the situation far better than you and I do. And so a closed door doesn't always mean the enemy is opposing me. Just like an open door doesn't always mean the Lord has opened the door either. I believe that Paul and Timothy could have went right on into Asia. Don't you? I don't think they were dealing with all of the border crossing issues maybe that we deal with today. I think they could have marched right on into Asia. I think they could have preached the word. But they would have been doing it in their own ability because the Spirit of the Lord had already said, no, sir. And so oftentimes what will happen is when I embark out on this journey that says, you know what, I know what I'm going to do. I got a mind to do this work for the Lord. And the challenge is I'm working for the Lord. But if I haven't waited to hear from God on the matter, what happens is I become frustrated working for the Lord. And then I start getting an attitude with God. Lord, I'm working for you. I'm doing this for you. What's the problem? Well, the problem is it wasn't me that instructed you to go there. That was your own will and your own desire. That was your own noble effort. What made the difference for Paul and Timothy? Huh? They listened. They listened. Now, I've never had a guy in a dream say, hey, come help us. Right? Sometimes I said, Lord, would you just do that? You're no respecter of persons. Right? Just have this guy. Of course, then if somebody showed up in my dream, I might get a little nervous, right? But Paul and Timothy were willing to seek the face of God and pray until. Oftentimes in my humanity, it's a lot easier to set my own direction and do for God than it is to give myself to prayer and follow after God. Teach me, Lord, the disciples said, to pray. They didn't say, teach me how to pray. They said, teach me to pray. Teach me to do it.
Teach me to give myself to prayer. When you and I give ourselves to prayer, then we hear from the Lord. We get direction from the Lord. Does the Lord tell us every single little thing to do along the way? I don't think so. He orders our steps, the scripture says. But I want the step that I take when I start the journey to be the instruction and direction of the Holy Ghost, don't you? And so Abraham had a relationship with God, and God told Abraham, head out towards, what was it, Haran, is that right? Or is that where he left? Head out of there, head out from where your father is. And so Abraham headed out. And when he started the direction the Lord gave him, the Lord began to order his steps. We find Philip in Samaria, and the Lord spoke to Philip through an angel and said, okay, revival's happening now. People are getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Your job's done here. Head south toward the desert. Philip picked up and headed south. He didn't have all the answers for what awaited him there, but once he'd heard from God and began moving, the Lord ordered his steps. I know it's a lot easier to just to sit down and plan and say, okay, I'm going to do this for God. But if I'll hear from the Lord, and that doesn't mean I got to get up and head out of Puyallup or get up and head out of Washington or get up. It's in my day-to-day walk, in my day-to-day living as a minister. And if you're here today and you're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, you are called to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm called to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I need the Lord to direct my life. You know, we read this in Acts chapter 16, and we read it as though, well, you know, they're these men of God up here on this. And so they were really waiting because, you know, they had this grand thing they had to do. And so because of that, it's much more important for them than it is for me. Not true. Not true. It's just as critical and important for my life and for your life to be hearing from the Lord consistently that he orders my steps. There's some things that are already set in our... I hope this is okay today. I know this is really just sort of practical, and maybe you were planning on some deep revelation today, but... Many of us know we have to get up and go to our job every day. Right? Got to do that, Brother Nathan. Thank the Lord for a job. And so I know that. So I already know I got to go to work. Anybody else know you got to go to work tomorrow? Yeah, some of you do. All right. You do, just in case you didn't know, I'm telling you. Unless you're off tomorrow. Or you're retired. All right, Brother Lindsay? He just grins and says, yep. And so you got to get up and go to work tomorrow. Most of you know the people you're going to interact with during the course of the day. Fair statement? I'm the same way. I have 8 people that work in my office besides me. I know the people I'm going to interact with. So you know what? Prayer becomes a lot easier. I know who I'm praying for, right? I may not know all the situations in their life, but I know who I'm praying for. Because I'm a minister. You're a minister. You know who you're going to interact with that day already on your job. You already have direction in prayer about ministry for the day. Now, there may be other people God will bring across your path. I'm not removing that from the equation. But sometimes we read this story in Scripture and we don't see ourselves in it. But we are called just like Paul and Timothy were. And so when I realize that and I say, okay, Lord, order my steps today. I don't want to head to Asia if I'm supposed to be going to Macedonia. I don't want to try to pursue Bithynia if I'm supposed to be reaching out to the one that's crying out for help. Let me share this real story with you to bring it. So I have 2 people who work for me that are of another denominational belief. And I'm very challenged by that because I know of the web it is and the deceit that's involved in it. And so a few months ago in July, at the beginning of July, they were both participating in a conference. And so I began to pray, Lord, and the Lord led me this way. I know he did. I've never prayed this way before about a situation like this. And I said, Lord, I know that you desire to fill them with the gift of your Spirit. I know that you desire to reveal yourself as the mighty God in Christ Jesus to them. I'm praying, Lord, some way, somehow, whatever and however you have to do it, and whatever my part in that is, Lord, bring confusion to what they believe. Let them see the difference between a belief system and the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. Somehow bring something into their life to cause them to hunger and reach out. Little did I know how quickly God would respond to that prayer. These two individuals, their lives started to become chaos. My wife one day said, you going to tell them that's your fault? I said, that's not my fault. I mean, chaos. And my heart was grieved for them. And we went through it with them. And in my workplace, in the span of 4 weeks, five different individuals in my workplace, in 4 weeks, five family members died. I only have 8 people that work with me. 5 of them in 4 weeks lost a family member. You talk about chaos. I was like, Lord, not for me. I wasn't wanting it. But begin to pray. This chaos ensues. One of the individuals, I get home one night about 6 o'clock, just after work. I no sooner walk in the door and my phone rings, and it's one of these individuals. They're broken on the phone. They're weeping. For those of you who don't know, I manage a credit union, to give you an idea of my office environment where I work. And so I get home, and one of the people who works for me at the credit union says, Joel, you got a minute? I'm sorry to bother you. And, no, you're fine. You're fine. What's up? I don't know what else to do. They're grieving over this lost loved one that in this situation was their father, that they were very close to. Their father was their support structure. I don't know what else to do. I've tried everything. I'm praying, and I just feel like it's not changing, and this grief is so overwhelming, and they're just pouring their, and they're saying, this was their words, I'm asking you, if there's something you can tell me to do that would help me. Well, I'm there on the phone like this, Brother Cletus, and I'm like, wow, Lord, that was a pretty specific answer. And so, being the careful ministers that we are, right? God give us boldness. I said, now, I don't want to offend you. I understand that we have some different belief systems here and some things we believe differently according to the word of the Lord. And I don't want to offend you. But if you're asking, I can tell you some things. And their response was, you're not going to offend me. I called you. I understand. Just tell me something. See, we live in a world full of desperate people. Desperate people. We live in a world that's filled with religiosity even. Religiosity doesn't answer the need of desperate people. People need the Lord. They need the infilling of the Spirit of God. They need the ministry of the Holy Ghost that dwells in us as children of God. And so as a minister, you, I, it's what Peter and John said on the way to the temple. We don't have silver and gold, but what we have we'll give you. You have something to give. And so I began to share some things with this lady. And the crux of the conversation was, you need Jesus. And in our conversation that lasted no more than 15 minutes, if it did, it was only a minute or two longer than that, I shared several scriptures along the way, 4 or 5 different scriptures that just the Holy Ghost put in my heart as we were talking and I was relaying the word to her. And so when I did that, when we finished, I said, She says, this has really helped me. Thank you. I said, you know, if you don't mind, I'll text you those four or five scriptures that I shared so you'll be able to go back and see them. She said, that'd be great. And so I got off the phone and I grabbed my Bible and my concordance. I knew what I'd quoted, but I don't know about you. I don't always know where what I quoted is. I have to take a second and find it again. I know all the words, but I don't always know the location and the numbers. Does that make sense? Okay. Whew. Hope that didn't make some of you go, I'm done listening to him. So I looked up these few scriptures and I texted them. When I texted them to her, then I went back and I started reading them again. And every one of the scriptures, I didn't even realize it. Isn't the Lord amazing? I didn't even realize it. Every one of the scriptures said, in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus. She's a religious belief system that is anti-Christ. And the Lord was saying, you want help? Here's your help. In Christ Jesus, through Christ. That's been my prayer. And I didn't even have to go say, hey, I want to tell you something. She called me and said, just tell me. Now, we're not all the way home yet, but the Lord's got plenty of time. And he knows the end from the beginning, and he's the author and the finisher, and the word has been planted, and the word never fails. You and I are called to minister. That came out of praying, God, you know who I'm going to interact with on the job today. You see these needs. God, give words. Bring confusion. That wasn't necessarily the way, but that's the word that I had when I prayed. Amen. It wasn't but less than maybe 1 month later at the most. The other individual, remember I told you there's two? Come sits in my office one day. I have the most uncharacteristic manager and managee, employee, people that report to me. I have the most uncharacteristic conversations in my office. And so there's usually this, now this is usually how the conversation goes. Okay, now you ask this question and open the door. Are you okay if we just go ahead and go down this road? Because I'm your manager and I don't want to cross. No, you're fine. Go ahead. So if I ever get fired, pray for me. But the other individual comes in my office. We go through some things we have to do as part of the job thing. And we get towards the end of the deal. And I'm like, anything else on your mind? Whew, that was the $1 million question right there. This is a person that's very together. Has everything in order, takes care of everything, has it. And they did have something else on their mind. They shared something they were going through in their life that had just started. That's when my wife said, do you think they know that's your fault? Some chaos that had just began in their life in recent weeks. This altogether person broke down and wept. Said, I don't want to cry. I'm not going to cry. And begin to pour out their heart. And the door opened to begin to share the word. You know, the beauty is they believe that the Bible is valuable. It's just been twisted. And so you can talk through the word. And so the Lord opened that door of ministry. I share that with you today because we don't always see ourselves in Paul and Timothy in that scripture. But we are all called to minister. And we can walk in this and live in this. And sometimes, oftentimes, I know myself, I'm guilty of looking for the next big thing. Right? Lord, use me. Right? Take me to Africa and do great things, Lord. No, not Africa, Lord, but, right? There's a song when I was a kid, please don't send me to Africa. Anybody know that song? I don't think I got what it takes, right? Something, I don't like lions or tigers or snakes or something like that. But no, don't we do that in our humanity? Don't we sometimes, we're like, God, please use me. And when we're saying that, we've got this idea of a big thing that God's going to do, so we'll know he used us. wow, you know, I was walking down the sidewalk today and a car stopped right beside me. And they rolled down the window and said, I believe you're a person of the Lord and you have a word from me. Whoa, God, you. No? Not so much. But we do. And so what we do is we underestimate, where am I walking today? Where am I living today? Where is God taking me today? And so am I beginning my day in prayer and saying, Lord, do you want me to go here? Would you put words in my mouth for the interactions today? I don't want to spend energy and effort trying to get into Asia when you've got a plan for help in Macedonia. And you realize those were just places for Paul and Timothy's time. You and I have places in our time. And those places sometimes are as simple as spending time with this person at this desk or spending time with this person at this desk. But if we'll see ourselves in that scripture and recognize the Lord can order my steps, I believe there's people in your workplace. I believe there's people that are saying, help me. I know it to be true because I have 8 people that work in my office and every one of them somewhere along the way in the last 3 years have said, help me. I have a person who works for me that has become jaded to religion because their mother was strongly religious and everything was rules and regulations and guidelines and guidelines. And it just so happened we had to travel to a meeting together that took about 2 hours to get there. Oh man, 2 hours alone in a car. Woohoo. You understand? I knew I was going to have that time. Prayer became easy as it related to that direction. Lord, you got to help me know what to say today. I don't want to try to force some Bible study on someone. I want an open vessel that's ready to receive. And they're all around us if we'll pray. I could have got them in the car and said, okay, now we're going to have a Bible study the next 2 hours. You need this and that and do this and do that and read this. And they'd have been like, man, that's exactly what my mom was doing. I don't know. But somewhere along the way, she asked a question. I love questions. And the Lord opened the door for almost an hour. Conversation flowed around a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the beauty of develop and how he wants a relationship with you. That's been about 7 months ago. It was 2 weeks ago. Standing in my office, this individual said, I told my husband the other day, maybe you and I need to find a church. Well, I know where one is. But I know a Savior that will make them a part of the church. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me today? I want to share one other scripture. You and I are called to minister. We really are. And it's not always these big ah moments. It's living and walking in the Spirit. But if I start my day, but I don't purpose to get alone with God before that, man, I may head right into Asia and the Holy Ghost had nothing to do with that. I want to start with him. Does that mean that I'll start my day and you'll start your day and that Macedonian guy will show up? I don't necessarily think so. Could. But it just means I've put my life in his hands one more time today. I've made myself available to him one more time today. And I've said, you just direct my steps, Lord. And he'll do that. He'll do that if we're willing to wait on him. And as Brother Cool said, listen to him. And I've learned, and I haven't got it figured out yet, but I'm learning that if I'm going through my day listening for people that are asking for help, boy, it doesn't take much to hear one. The cry comes. The cry comes. It's all around us. 1 Corinthians 16 and 9 says, the Apostle Paul was talking again. He was talking about going somewhere, and he said, there's a great door, and effectual is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries. I like it. You know, we read in Acts, Luke said, but his father was a Greek. There, it seems like it would have made more sense to say, and his father was a Greek. And here, it seems like it would have made more sense to say, but there are many adversaries. But no, that didn't change anything, did it, for the Apostle Paul? Adversaries didn't make a difference. The door was open to him. It was effectual. He was aware it was going to be a bumpy ride. But it didn't deter him because he recognized the Lord has opened the door to me. We've talked a lot about ministering today and ministering to others. But I really felt the Holy Ghost quicken in my spirit where I thought we were going to go originally. And I feel the important need to say it. Sometimes we look so desperately for the Lord to direct our steps, but we weigh whether the Lord is opening or closing a door based on how difficult or how easy it looks, or how smooth sailing or how bumpy the road is. Well, if the Lord opens it, then, oh yeah, that's smooth sailing. Everything's perfect. Oh yeah, that must be God. You know what? If I was trying to deceive you and mislead you, I wouldn't give you something hard and difficult. Sometimes where the Lord opens the door, it's not always this beautiful, well laid out, everything looks nice and rosy and little gravel path through the green shrubs pathway. But if we're listening, we're attentive, we'll see the adversaries. But we know God has opened the door, and so we can walk. We can walk. I believe I'm in a room full of people that are called. I know I'm in a room full of people called to minister today. And so I'd like to invite you to come and to reach to him one more time. And maybe it's just a renewal of a commitment that says, Lord, I'm available. Maybe I've withdrawn a little bit. God, forgive me, but I'm available. In the workplace, wherever my life takes me, I'm available. Or maybe you're already in that place and you're just saying, Lord, make me more sensitive. Make me more discerning. Give me greater discretion. Give me more wisdom, God, in this area. Maybe you're here today and you say, I need the Lord to renew the passion in my heart. Open my eyes and my understanding. Open my ears and my hearing. Come on, be specific with the Lord today. He has called us to minister. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, there's people in your path that only you can minister to. The Lord knew that. He designed that. It's the reason you're where you are. It's the reason you're where you are. Maybe you've been looking at where you are with a negative eye going, God, get me out of this situation. God, deliver me from this situation. And the Lord is saying, I don't want to deliver you. I'm not trying to take you out. You're not there for you. You're there for somebody else. God, give me fresh eyes to see. God, give me fresh ears to hear. Let me be in tune with your spirit leading me day by day. Let me not resent my circumstances, but God, let me walk through them by the power of your spirit and the leading of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Let my eyes not be fixed somewhere down the road when you've brought me to where I am for a distinct purpose, for a distinct need, for a distinct soul. Oh God, give me sensitivity in prayer. Give me sensitivity in prayer. Give me sensitivity in conversation. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. God, in these individuals today, I pray the ordering of their steps, day by day, week by week, month by month. Order their interactions for the glory of God. Fill their mouth with your words, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. That the will of God would be done, souls that are crying for help would receive the ministry that you put in the lives of these individuals. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.